word of scripture for our consideration today is from the fifth chapter of St. Luke, where we read these words. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. This is the text. Well, two of the brethren are nudging each other in the back pew and wondering, now, will this be something that's sort of warmed over from Sunday? So we'll dispense with that question right away. The answer is yes. However, there may be a thought or two here from the richness of God's word that slipped past when maybe you dealt with it or heard it last Sunday. The poet Henry Longfellow wrote these lines in his poem, Psalm of Life. I quote, "Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. That each tomorrow find us farther than today." That would have been a far hope for Peter, James, and John if we could have transported that thought back in time after their evening of fruitless fishing. That was a very disappointing experience for them. However, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that he seized the moment for a blessing and more as man's need became God's opportunity in this text. This text reminds us of an incident, the human part of which has been repeated thousands of times in mankind's history, and the meaning of which will be repeated yet again this week, the world over. Men had worked long, all night long. These were professional fishermen. They had rowed their boat out to their chosen honey hole, which is the place where fishermen know that the fish are, supposedly know. They had contended with the tossing waves, rocking their small craft all night long. They had been drenched by the splash and spray that sometimes overwashed them. A night breeze had blown across the surface of the water, chilling their wet skin. Their muscles ached with weariness from casting out and drawing back again the unwieldy nets as they prowled Gennesaret in the darkness of the night, without so much as a running light. All they had gotten for their efforts were dirty, torn nets, a rent here, and something unraveling over there. Ashore now, it was time to wash them, mend, fold, and stow them for another day that would hopefully be more prosperous. They would have nothing to sell in the marketplace that day. Perhaps they wouldn't even have enough to fillet for their own families. Mama would have to get behind the chink in the wall, the broken plaster, to go into the meager family savings for or a few coins to buy some milk, some bread, and cheese. Many of us can identify with this. You have pounded the pavement, perhaps day after day, in search of a job, and there was no apparent result. Or you've gone to a job site and been told, sorry, there's no work today. Or perhaps as a student or a pastor, you have labored over a particular text long and hard, you prayed about it, studied over it, read your commentary, and it just won't open up for you. It just won't crack so that you can mine a sermon out of it. And after much ado, you find that you've got to go on to a different text. Or perhaps you try to get a project going and you meet with opposition from all sides and it doesn't move. It all seems so futile. The results are disappointment, frustration. And the disappointment is enhanced by one little word that I left out as I went through this text. It's the little word, hard. We worked hard all night long, and that intensifies the gloom and the disappointment which had settled down over the disciples. Most of us can resonate on that. Is there any help to be found? Enter Jesus Christ to make good on God's opportunity for man's need. Jesus wanted to borrow a boat to use as his pulpit on that occasion for preaching and teaching the gospel. His message had to get out. People everywhere had to have an opportunity to put their faith and trust in him as the Lord's Christ. And so he used the materials that were available to him, in this case a boat. So one of these boats owned by these fishermen became a tool in the service of the gospel. And we quickly observe that Jesus Christ is not just a crass user. He does not borrow this boat with no thought of repayment. He has no intention of looking upon the disappointment of these men whom he liked, whom he cared for, to look upon their disappointment while they satisfied his need without an outpouring of generous response that would put a smile on every face and replace sorrow with joy. At his word, they came across a great catch of fish. Who knows? Perhaps there were enough there for a week's pay for each of the men. What an open-handed and open-hearted blessing. Now, as we think about our Lord's generosity there, we do not thereby reason that every time you use your car to drive someone to church, you will therefore have a full tank of gas when you return to your car. Or that every time you put a $50 bill into the offering basket, you will therefore receive $100 back. We assign no such simplistic cause and effect relationship to our Heavenly Father's dealings with us. And yet, I have personally experienced God's abundance and his bounty so much in my own life that it almost seems that way sometimes. I give my time to try to serve him. He makes my time and my life worthwhile, worth the living. You serve his gospel now and you try to live for your Savior and you find out that you're living for something that's worth dying for. With all of your giving, you learn again and again that you can't outgive God. With all of your forgiving, he He outdoes you 100-fold. And with your prayers, he is always more ready to hear than you or I to pray. And isn't it wonderful that even when we have to say to him, Lord, we worked hard all night long, and there isn't any catch, we can leave those results with him, whether they be large or whether they be small. We can leave those results with him. But now before we leave and depart this text, as a blessing of many fish, the good news here gets even better. St. Peter comes to faith's recognition and conviction on shore. He falls at Jesus' knees and recognizes in Jesus one who is wholly other. He recognizes himself as a sinner in the presence of the Holy One of God. The draught of fishes had been a sign. The words of command had been a sign, and more. Mere man does not have these words of power, grace, and truth. Another is present. This is the Holy One of God, whom Peter is with. And Peter knows he is now in the presence of holiness. Later on, he will come to recognize Christ's holy life, his holy words, his holy sacraments, his holy promises, the sacrifice of his holy life on Calvary's cross for a world of unholy sinners, his holy resurrection and ascension. And then, to Peter's surprise, things just keep on getting better for him. There's an invitation to holy ministry. From now on, you'll be catching fish. When the Holy One of God gets active, things like that begin to happen. To Peter, James, and John, and to countless others, you, to me, as man's needs become God's opportunities. And how he does seize those opportunities. Put out into the deep water and let down your nets. And they filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. As I began with two stanzas from Longfellow's poem, let's bookend this message with two more which seem to have some relevance. The poet wrote, trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act. Act in the living present, heart within, and God o'erhead. Let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing. Learn to labor and to wait. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes our understanding keep your hearts and minds.